Blog Talk Radio. For another episode of Modern Living with Dr. Angela. I'm your host, Dr. Angela Chester. Today's episode is Surviving Suicidal Thoughts. Well, suicidal thoughts or intentions are prompted by a desperate need for relief from intensely painful feelings. Surviving suicidal thoughts is about learning how to find relief without having to resort to suicide. We want for everyone to live a healthy life for as long as God so desires. We don't want you intervening and cutting your opportunity short. Simply having suicidal thoughts, however, does not mean that you will act on them. However, the habit of repeatedly thinking about suicide is a risky one. The repetition brings a sense of familiarity that somewhat dulls your sense of danger to having the thoughts in the first place. So please remember that there is someone who cares and believes in the existence of you. Do not give up. So, what do you need to do? You need to make a safety plan. That's right, a safety plan. A safety plan helps you through those rough times. It's a plan of action set into place when you are your more balanced and more well self, as opposed to an unbalanced reaction to an attack when you're at your most vulnerable. So by making a safety plan, you're making a commitment to yourself. You're promising yourself that should you have a moment of forgetfulness, the forgetting that you are a balanced being, you've already set these things into place. It shows you a path to a safe return to your more balanced self. So what are some things that you need to do in your safety plan? Number one, you need to tell someone how you are feeling. Tell someone else how you're feeling and how to help you get back to your healthier self. Now, not everyone that you're going to tell this to or potentially tell this to is going to be qualified. And what I mean by that is that if you think about your list of friends, you have one group that if you were to tell them that you were having suicidal thoughts, they're not going to believe you. No matter how serious your tone of voice, they're simply not going to believe you because they themselves don't want to deal with the idea of you actually wanting to commit suicide because they don't know what to do. Then you're going to have that group of friends that's going to take you extremely seriously. They're going to say, well, you know what? I was feeling that something was a little off last week. I'm so glad that you came to me. And then you always have those people that are pleasantly in the middle that's just like, stop playing. Are you serious? Okay, talk to me. What's going on? So when you want to tell someone how you're feeling, you need to go to that person who is ultimately going to believe you and going to take this information seriously. You don't want someone who's going to dismiss you because should you actually have a suicidal attack, they will not be your first responder. They will not be there in your time of crisis. Number two, you want to check medication side effects. That's right. Unfortunately, half of the world seems like they are taking medication, and unfortunately, pharmaceutical companies have not been able to rule out or figure out how to remove all of the side effects from the medication that is being distributed in the United States. So be aware, and especially that some antidepressants can increase your risk of suicidal thinking, especially when you first start taking them. If your doctor is not telling you that, then at least your pharmacist should. If your pharmacist is not telling you that, please be savvy about your medication. Google it and find out what is it used for, because most medicines have many medicines have a multi-purpose. They have a multi-use. So see what else is it used for, what is your particular milligram good for, and what are the side effects of your medication. Now, many times when you first start to take some of your medications, it increases your energy. You're really motivated. You think, you know, you can go out and change the world. That's true. You can change the world. But at the same time, once that medicine is no longer newly or freshly in your system and your body actually starts to adjust to it, that's when you, boom, slam up against that wall and you run the risk of having the suicidal thoughts. Now, thoughts, again, do not necessarily mean that you are going to try to commit suicide. It simply means that the thoughts flood your senses, that you are just overwhelmed with the thought of doing something to cause your own demise. And I want you to be aware of that. If that should happen, please, please, please talk to your MD, whomever prescribed that medication. You need to let them know, hey, doc, listen, I'm taking whatever it is, and I found that after I did that, boy, was I sad, depressed, I didn't feel well. Whatever the description is of what you were feeling, please be sure that you let them know that so that they can make adjustments to your medication. Sometimes they will simply change the dosage. Sometimes they will change the medication itself. You'll just no longer take that and they will give you something else. But please make sure that you are keeping a journal of how you're feeling, what you're experiencing, especially if you're starting new medications. Number three, don't be a hermit. That's right. We don't want you to be a hermit. We want you to come out. We want you to talk. We want you to socialize. Depression and suicidal thinking thrive in isolation. Yes, they thrive in isolation. If you're an extrovert, this is especially true for you. Extroverts, being in a hermit-like situation is a trigger for depression for you. If you have a very, some people say outgoing personality or a very big personality, if you are the type of person that when you're around people, boy, do you feel refreshed, and then all of a sudden you are stuck in your room or you've been moved to a very distant kind of place, it can make you extremely sad. So if you are an extrovert person and you've been moved to some place where you feel like you're really in isolation, I want for you to make sure that you are doing something to remove yourself from that isolation. Make a plan to get out of your home or the office, where it is that you feel that you've withdrawn to. Make a plan to get out every day. Even if it's just to go for a walk around the block, to go to the mall, go to the park, or even go and visit your local farmer's market. I don't like the farmer's market. It's not about whether or not you like it. It's just an activity, something to do. You never know what you may find at the farmer's market. If you were in, for example, in downtown Long Beach when the farmer's market was thriving, there was always something to do. There was a clown for the children. There was the entertainment. Some of the people that would be in Hollywood would come down and visit with us. And, of course, you know, they perform, and you would give them change, the street performers there. But it was really nice to be able to interact with other people that enjoy that as well. Well, listeners, we need to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Joining us for another episode of Modern Living with Dr. Angela. I'm your host, Dr. Angela Chester. Today we are talking about surviving suicidal thoughts. Suicidal thoughts do not necessarily mean that you will actually go through with the suicide. It's just that the suicidal thoughts are invading you, that they are overwhelming you. They're overtaking your rational mind at that particular moment. And what are some things that you can do? So, number one, tell someone how you're feeling. Number two, check the side effects for any medication that you may be taking. Number three, don't be a hermit. Do not isolate yourself. Number four, Give the day purpose. Now, when you have the clearest mindset, be it that that's in the morning for you or in the evening, perhaps it's late afternoon, whatever time of day that is, you want to utilize it. Use the perfect time of day to help you plan for the imperfect parts of the day. For example, each morning, evening, afternoon, whatever time it is, I'm going to say for me, it's in the morning. So each morning, set a goal for either the next day or that day. It depends on how much of a planner you are. If you're not very big on planning and you're new to this, then that morning, you're going to set it for that day. If you're setting it in the evening, you're planning for the next morning. Got me, right. So when you're planning, put down something that you know is easily attainable for you, but something that you're also going to enjoy, such as you want to go and feed the birds at the park. You want to watch 60 Minutes on Sunday. You want to watch Scandal on Thursday. Or perhaps you just want to go to Starbucks every morning and have a coffee. It's something that you look forward to, something that you enjoy doing, but it gives you a reason to get up that morning and go and do that particular thing during the day. Number five, identify depressed thinking habits. You have to start self-assessing. You have to be aware of the habits that you have. Many times people say, oh, well, you know, I just go about my day. I don't really think about anything. I'm on autopilot. If that is you, stop it. Go and self-assess. Start at the top of your head, all the way down to the tips of your toes, and just take an inventory of what's going on in your world. Suicidal thinking is the ultimate all-or-nothing thinking habit. And once you mix that in with the culmination of depressive thoughts, boy, are you setting yourself up for a blue day. We don't want you to do that. We want you to look forward to having certain things to do. We want you to be able to take the moments that are your best moments, your positive moments, and we want you to be able to spread that out throughout the day so that your down moments, your blue moments, become less and less. What I want you to remember is this. Don't self-bully. Do not beat yourself up every morning. When you open your eyes, be grateful for another day. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much. I've been given the opportunity to do something, whatever that particular thing is. Like I said, even if it's, oh, great, today's Tuesday, I get to go and spend time with my favorite barista. That's an awesome thing. Or you get to go with, like I said, feed the birds or something. All of that is wonderful. Please be sure to do that. So, how can I know if someone is contemplating suicide or not? Many times we don't even know the signs to look for. So what are some things that we can do? Now, I do want you to make note that when you're looking for these warning signs, sometimes it's coincidentally, sometimes it's unconsciously that they're doing what they're doing or behaving the way that they're behaving from your particular perspective. You think that it's just odd or weird, but it is not. It really and truly is a warning sign, and they're trying to throw as many red flags as they possibly can. So what are these cluster things that you're looking for? If there has been a loss of interest in their usual activities, if they start to withdraw from friends and family members, if they're showing actual signs of sadness or hopelessness, if they're constantly irritable when they used to be a pretty perky person. Now, some people will say, well, they have an irritable disposition. Well, that may not be a sign, but if they're more irritable than usual, then that would be your sign. If they have a loss of energy. Now, this is more than just, you know, I am so tired today. Okay, well, it could be today. But if it's, I have no energy, I don't want to get out of bed, I don't want to do anything, and it's day after day after day, then that is a warning sign. If they are talking or writing or hinting about suicide. If you catch a little note or a text message and it says, you know, I don't know if I can go on anymore. I'm so tired. Now, we notice this behavior in our seniors. And you say, oh, grandma's starting to say, I'm tired. Oh, you know what that means. Well, the same holds true with people that are having suicidal thoughts, that they feel that the time is drawing to an end. If they've had previous attempts at suicide, if they are starting to give away their possessions, and last but not least, and this is by all means not a total and complete full list of some signs, but some more common ones, if they start to try to make amends or be at peace with everything and everyone. Now, usually we don't notice this until something has happened. But if you look back and they're trying to get everyone together for Thanksgiving or Christmas or birthday or anniversary, whatever it is, and they're trying to round up everyone, and once everyone is all rounded up, they're like, you know, thank you and I love you and I hope I've inspired you, and you're going, what? Yes, that is a sign, especially if that person doesn't usually behave in that manner. Now, if the person is a motivational type of person, they're always the rah-rah type person, and they just want to get everyone together and go, you know what, you guys, I've got this new book coming out, or I have this new thing, and I want to share it with you guys and let you know what's going on because I think it can benefit us as a family, totally different. I'm not telling you that if they invite you over for dinner and they haven't invited you for 3 years, that this is a suicide alert. No, I'm not saying that. Just look at the cluster of things that are going on so that you're more equipped, you're better equipped, you're more aware of what's going on in that moment of now with your loved one or with your friend, and that you can be a better friend or family member for them. Well, we need to take a very short break here, but when we return, we'll see what Scripture has to say about surviving suicidal thoughts. We'll be back right after this. For joining us for another episode of Modern Living with Dr. Angela. I'm your host, Dr. Angela Tester. Today we are looking at surviving suicidal thoughts. Now, like we were saying before, just because you have a thought about suicide, it does not mean that you are going to actually go through with the suicidal act. But it does mean that something is going on. And I want for you to, if this sounds like you, or if it sounds like someone that you know, I want you to get either yourself or your friends or family member to a professional. There are so many people out there that can help. Now, with my practice, I'm a little bit different. I go by Dr. Angela. I don't go necessarily by Dr. Chester, though I do have some clients who call me that, and that's fine. But I want for you to be able to be relaxed. I want you to be able to be comfortable. I want you to be able to share what's going on. Why? Because you need to be able to get it out, and you need to get it dealt with. And there's no way that your therapist can help you if you're not giving them full disclosure. If someone is getting on your nerves, making you mad, if someone is abusing you, if someone is making you feel less than please by all means tell that so that your therapist can help you. Most therapists are open from in the morning to later in the afternoon or early evenings. For example, my office is open from 10 a.m. until 7 p.m. because I realize that some people work until 5 and trying to deal with Long Beach, L.A., Pasadena traffic is ridiculous. So there's always someone there to help you. And yes, I am open on Saturdays for people who don't work on the weekends. So find a therapist that works for you. Find someone who's going to sit and listen to you and isn't trying to fix you on the very first meeting that you have, but someone who's actually going to give you sound counsel. Now, many people say, well, I don't want to have biblical counsel. I like the idea of a Christian counselor, but I don't want to get beat over the head with the Bible. No problem. For example, I'm not going to beat you over the head with the Bible. I am going to tell you, however, what the Bible has to say about your situation. Why? Because it is there to instruct us. It is there to reproof us. It is there to teach us, to guide us, and to lead us. And anyone who wants to truly help you doesn't want to cause any additional harm. They want you to learn from the experience so you know what not to do next time. If you are going to a therapist and you feel that therapist is just beating you over the head with scripture, find a different therapist. There are thousands of us out there. Please find the one that is most appropriate for you. So, what does scripture have to say about surviving suicidal thoughts? Isaiah 41:10 reminds us, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God is awesome, and he's not going to leave you in your time of vulnerability, but you have to remind yourself of that. Psalm 34:17-20. "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken." Now that is awesome. None of your bones are broken. That means that no physical harm has come to you as well. So please put that weapon against yourself down. Do not use that to harm your body. For the Lord God has reminded us that he hears your cry and will deliver you out of this trouble. Exodus 14:4. "The Lord will fight for you and will have You only have to be silent. The Lord will fight for you. You only have to be silent." Meaning, once you've prayed the prayer and you're waiting in expectation for this, the Lord hears you. As long as you're doing what you are supposed to be doing and you're feeding yourself the positivity and you're trying to do everything you can with your safety plan to make sure that when you are attacked that you have a plan of action, the Lord's going to hear that. He's definitely going to deliver you. Do not give in to the voice of dissension. Philippians 4:13. Getting tongue-tied here, people. Sorry about that. Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, each time I give a scripture, I try to do a different translation because I know that everyone reads a different translation. Some people, you know, they still like the King James. Some people want the New King James. Some people want NIV. Some people want the American Standard, the English Standard. I try to mix it up a little bit. During workshops, I do tend to use the Amplified because I have the time to give you all of the wording. But please, by all means, whatever translation that you like best, use that translation. And last but not least is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you future and a hope." To give you a future and a hope. Now, I chose this particular translation because it says plans for welfare. That's plans for your care, plans for your living. I want you to live and not reside in evil. I want you to succeed and not be in a dark place. I want you to be balanced and not unbalanced. So if we know that there's already a plan in place to bring us those things that are prosperous, those things that are successful, those things that are going to bring us a sense of balance, then we need not worry about anything else because the plan has already been set in place. Well, thank you so much, listeners, for joining me for another episode of Modern Living with Dr. Angela. I'm your host, Dr. Angela Chester, and I hope to see you here on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern. Until next time, have an awesome day in the Lord. Bye-bye.